Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everyone is doing well, and hopefully you all are expecting for the Lord and Savior to return soon. So it is a blessing to be here today. It's a blessing to bring this message and this word to you. Amen. So hopefully everyone has had a blessed and wonderful week, and we just pray that the saints are doing well. Amen. And again, that we are getting ready for the return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. So we hope that that is your focus as we are in these last and evil days, as we are in a time where people are just kind of just playing church. Amen. People are ignoring the Most High God. They are ignoring the messages of God. They're just ignoring the truth. Amen. So again, amen, we hope that things are just going your way. Amen. Amen. Most of all, we don't want the saints to get too comfortable in this life. Amen. Because I know sometimes, for some of us, things may not be as much as a struggle as it is for others. Amen. Which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Amen. Some people out here are struggling, so we don't want to make light of nobody's situation, but just make sure that we are being prayerful for those that are in need right now, that are suffering in some shape, form, or fashion. Amen. But at the same time, amen, we don't want to get too comfortable in this life. Amen. All right, so with that being said, we're going to go ahead and move forward. And once again, it's a blessing to be here. And we're going to go ahead and read the scriptures of love. Amen. Just trying to find my little bookmarks. Amen. We're going to read the scriptures of love. And then we're going to come back with a prayer. We're going to go ahead and jump right into the word. Got quite a bit to cover today. But we're just going to go ahead and, amen, get right into it. Just trying to make sure I have all my notes prepared. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and start out with 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. Going into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. Amen. And this is what it reads. It says, but cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself, is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Amen. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For, amen. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thank you for another blessed day. We come thank you for another opportunity to bless and praise your holy name. We come thank you for your people. We come thanking you for your saints, dear Heavenly Father. We come praying for those that are lost. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come praying that, dear Heavenly Father, that the word reached them, dear Heavenly Father, and that salvation finds them soon before it is too late, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore, Heavenly Father. We pray that your spirit come in and teach your people, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that all flesh and carnal mindset be removed. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. All right. So, amen. We know that We've been talking about various subjects, amen, pertaining to revelation in this day and time, in this day and age that we are living in. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with me this week to talk about, amen, a subject, amen. And the subject is time is up. Amen. Time is up. Heaven or hell. Amen. You choose. Amen. Because time is up. Heaven or hell. So which will it be? Amen. You have to choose. Amen. God gives us the ability to make a choice. Amen. Lucifer made a choice, and he enticed some angels, and they made a choice. Amen. And so we know that from their choices have condemned them to darkness and everlasting pain. Amen. So they will be in hell and in the lake of fire for all eternity. That was their choice. As you live and breathe, God has made a promise to Adam. He made a promise to Adam that I will redeem you. Amen. If you repent and you choose to serve and to live for me, amen, I will redeem you. Amen. If you choose to turn from your evil, wicked ways. And so that was a promise that he made to Adam and his seed. And this thing was known before Satan. Amen. Satan was in the garden. God made it known. Amen. He is not afraid of Satan by no means. And no way should he be, because he is the Almighty God. And so, amen, when we say that the time is up, what we're saying is that, no, we know we're not at the end of time, and that we know that this is not the end, meaning that time has come to an end. What I mean by time is up, I mean that it's time is up for playing church or playing in the church, amen, I should say, because so many people are playing church and playing in the church, amen. You know, we have, you know, people, gays and lesbians, amen, playing in the church. And we have some pastors that make it okay for them to live that type of lifestyle. And what I mean by living that type of lifestyle, they don't preach out against it. And because they don't preach out against it, this spirit is roaming free in your churches today, which is how we know that we are in the last church, the Laodicean church, because I've been to churches and I've seen this spirit roam the churches without any condemnation, meaning that the pastor don't speak out against the lifestyle. Amen. Hey, if he preach out against fornication, adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and stealing, then he has to preach out against that spirit. He has to preach out against that lifestyle. Amen. Because you can't just preach out against adulterous and fornicational living without including a man being with a man, a woman being with a woman, is a wrong and evil lifestyle. In fact, the Bible says that it's an abomination. And if you look at that word abomination in the Hebrew, it means disgusting. God is disgusted with that lifestyle because he did not, amen, I will say it again, he did not intend for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. That is just not the lifestyle that God has. That's why he created a woman for Adam. He didn't create a man and a woman or a man. He created just a woman for Adam, and the man was for the woman, Eve, amen. And so in our subject, time is up for playing in the church, amen. I've also seen, you know, these types of people run up and down the church like they have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Man, you know, and I know sometimes people want to, you know, give you backlash and say, well, how do you know that they don't have the Holy Spirit? Lord have mercy. Amen. That's why we read and study our Bible. That's why we study to show thyself approved. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that a person cannot get saved. Amen. And they may be working on some things that have the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not saying that. But I am simply saying that if you are just in rebellion, in that lifestyle, you're saying this is just how God made me, which is a lie, are you just going to say, I'm just going to live this type of lifestyle? I don't care who knows or who cares about it. No, that's a reprobate mind, amen. The Holy Ghost does not live there. That's just like a man saying, a married man saying, I'm just going to commit adultery, but he's in the church. How can he have the Holy Spirit? He just said, this is just how I'm going to be. That's a reprobate mind. Amen. We know that that's enmity against God. That type of sinful lifestyle and thinking is enmity against God. It's against God. God doesn't allow that. Amen. That's not permitted. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, amen, a person that loves God said, I'm working on myself. Whatever they may be dealing with, amen, whether it's drinking, maybe it's their cursing, whatever lifestyle that they may be living, if they are in the mindset and have the mentality that I'm working on changing myself, yes, I believe that person has the Holy Spirit. But if they just have the reprobate mindset, man, I don't care nobody. I'm just going to live like this. I'm just going to fornicate until the end of my days until God calls me home. That's not a good mindset to have, amen. That's why Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. And that word burn means to burn with desire. That's what it means, amen. In other words, with lust, amen. So if you're a single person, amen, and you're burning with lust, you need to go ahead and get married. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is, amen. Let's preach today, amen. Let's just call it what it is. God has not, God is not the author of confusion. Amen. People are confused because the preachers and pastors out here are not teaching. Amen. Most of them are not teaching the rightly divided word. Or if they know it, they're just not teaching it to the people. And in some cases, most people gather up in the church world. Pastors won't preach against that, which is probably why some of the congregations have multiplied. Amen. Because all you're giving is motivational speeches. Amen. That's not good, amen, because we want to teach the truth. We want people to be free spiritually. We want people to receive the kingdom of heaven, amen. So, again, time is up for playing in the church, heaven or hell. Which will it be? Amen. We know that heaven and hell is real because we've had a discussion before that we know that once we leave this world, once we are done in this life, amen, your soul will go somewhere. Amen. That is so important that your soul, that you know where your soul is going to go when you close your eyes on this side. When you pass away in this life, amen, the Bible says it's appointed for man to die at least once. Amen. The second death, which is a spiritual death, you don't have to have the consequence of eternal damnation. Amen. So you can control that. In this life, you have a choice that you can make right now today, if you had already made the choice, to receive salvation. Salvation is free. We've already established that salvation is through Christ, our Lord and Savior, Yahshua. Amen. That is the only way to God, as if you come by the cross and the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. So you must receive salvation, so therefore you can receive the Holy Spirit, and therefore once the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells you, will begin to work out the sinful lifestyle that one may live. Amen. And so our goal in this life is to be sinless. Amen. As we mature, amen, as we grow old in age, as we mature, that word perfect over in the scripture, James, I think it's James, the first chapter, I believe it's the third verse, don't quote me on that, but he said to be perfect. What James was referring to was that the saints of God grow maturity. We grow old. As we become older, we don't do and desire the things that we used to. We put off the old man. Amen. I don't desire to run around and to hang out anymore. Amen. That's just not my thing. In fact, I hang around in my house probably, especially with all this stuff going on, probably 95% of the time, which is kind of, I don't know if that's kind of a bad thing. I think it's kind of bad. I don't know. It's kind of sad to say because, you know, I'm kind of used to moving around a lot. But I spend 95% of my time in my home. Amen. Because of the things that are going on in the world. Amen. There's moral depravity in the world. People don't have morals anymore. People don't care. I remember a time where when you were young, you didn't curse in front of your elders. You didn't disrespect older people. If they said something to you that seemed out of line, you would just say, yes, sir, and or no, sir, or yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, and just go on. You would just have that respect for people. Now these young people will run up and down old people and curse them out, don't care. And if you get too much into it with them, they'll attack you. These young people now, and some of them actually pull a gun or a weapon on you, and try to hurt, harm, or kill you, amen? And so we are just living in a time where, well, this is different times. We are definitely in the end. And so we have to be very careful as we go about our day. Amen. And when I say careful, what I mean is not in a spirit of fear, but we have to be aware of our surroundings. Amen. At all times, we have to pay attention to people. Amen. So we have to kind of, the Bible says, try the spirits by the spirit. You have to know who you're dealing with in this world. Amen. When I talk to people, I like to know who am I dealing with. Amen. I definitely don't hang around just anybody. I've never have been that person. Even when I was in the world, I was always cautious of the type of people that I may keep, the company that I keep. Amen. As the old people used to say, you have to be careful of the company that you keep, because everybody don't mean you, amen, any good. Amen. So, again, as we are talking about, the time is up. Amen. We are speaking to the churchgoers, the saints, even the saints. Hey, you know, the time is up. Amen. Let's start picking up our Bibles more. Let's start witnessing to people. Let's start expressing love. Let's start showing love to our brothers and sisters out here. Amen. Because so many people out here have just fallen by the wayside. They have no care for their fellow men anymore, or women. And so we want to continue in the ways of God, the ways of the Word, as the Word teaches us, amen, because we know that, amen, there is a heaven, amen. So that's what we are striving for, is our rewards, and also ultimately our eternal life. Amen. So when I say striving, I'm not saying that we're working towards eternal life. We already know that we've already been eternally saved once we confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart that Christ has already saved us, amen. What I'm saying is that we ought to strive to be as the best that we can be, as mature as we can be. Read your word as often as you can. Try to study the Bible. Get into a Bible study group. Learn more about the Bible. Spend more time with God, especially in these last and evil days, because, amen, we want to earn as much as we can. I was thinking about today, amen, I want to earn as much as I possibly can, amen, because a lot of times we set our sights on working for worldly things. Why can't we set our sights for working for spiritual things that's going to last us for all eternity? All good that you do in the name of Christ, in the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is going to last you for all eternity. Why not get to enjoy whatever it is that God's going to bless you with for all eternity? Why not? We strive to get degrees. We strive to graduate, pass training classes. We strive in businesses, on the work. We strive to have high achievements. But why is it when it comes to God, we don't seek high accolades? Amen. I just remember, you know, the years that I've taught Sunday school and I've taught Wednesday night Bible studies and just Bible studies all in general, you know. You have some people that will be excited about it, amen. But you know, when I taught, you know, the congregation, you know, in my church, most cases they were excited to have our little Bible study. I'll make it interesting, amen. But you know, sometimes when you're under a pastor and you're teaching, you have to kind of be mindful, because sometimes, you know, maybe they don't want you to teach a certain way. Maybe people are old school and they don't want to learn a certain type of way. You know, my church was a younger, more younger crowd, so they was into the way that I taught, amen, in a more new style of teaching, amen, whereas your old school people, amen, not so much get into that. You know, they may not get into the internet and things like that, which I respect that, so I had to teach a little different. So I had to strategize my teaching around the age group or the type of crowd that I was teaching to, amen. But, again, we want to strive as much as we possibly can in our salvation. We want to earn as many rewards as we possibly can for our eternal salvation. You know, we don't want to put God off. You know, so many people, they only pick up the Bible on Sundays. They go to church on Sundays. They flip it over to the pastor's face, read a few scriptures. They close up. Don't ever again until next Sunday, amen, until the pastor gets ready to preach again. And that should not be. We should be opening up our Bibles as often as we possibly can. And there is no such thing that, you know, as you don't have time. In fact, you can't afford not to open up your Bible, especially with all that's going on in the world today. We need to open up our Bible as much as possible. Amen. A lot of things has been going on. I've been noticing a lot of our young people, and which I know we kind of become a little callous to this because we see and hear it so much, but we're losing just too many young people. Amen. I'm going to say this is my belief. I ain't going to say it's just my belief, but it's my belief. Man, when you give your life to God in the name of Christ, the Holy Spirit will protect you from a lot of things, from a lot of bad things. People don't realize that people can do you no harm when you got God. When you have the Holy Spirit, they can do you no harm. One, because God ain't going to just let them. The Holy Spirit sure ain't going to let them. He ain't going to tolerate that. When you are a child of God, Lucifer has to get permission to touch you. And in most cases, God's not going to allow him to bring harm to you to where it's going to bring death to you. Amen. I just don't believe that. That's just my belief. Amen. The Holy Spirit protects you. He leads you and he guides you. Lucifer can't do nothing to you without the permission of God. Amen. Now, we do know that things do happen, amen, that may be not good to saints. Amen. But again, and I'm not saying that God is granting Lucifer to do something evil and bad to you, but my experience is that sometimes when I hear things that happen to people who are supposed to be saints, and sometimes it may be questionable, amen? So, you know, in other words, maybe it was a situation that they placed themselves into or allowed themselves to fall into, amen? That does happen. But for the most part, amen, from my experience, from people, the saints of God, in most cases, and most of them grow old and they pass away, amen? In other words, you don't really see them dying a violent death. Let's just go ahead and say it, amen. I don't really see that. I'm not saying that it can't happen, because we know in the past that some of the saints did die violently, amen. Again, God has to grant that. God has to allow that. And not saying that it can't happen, but I'm just saying in most cases, you don't see it, amen. So I'm not saying that a saint can't pass away or have a violent death. I'm just saying that in most of the time, it is not permitted, amen. God just don't allow Lucifer to have his way and to just run rampant, amen, through the saints, amen. So with that being said, amen, let's go ahead and get into some scriptures, amen, because I know we've been talking about demons the past some weeks ago. We got into demons. Then we had one show that was kind of cut short. Maybe we can kind of talk about some angels here in about another week or so. But let's go ahead and talk about heaven or hell. Amen. Because we know that if you are a child of God and you believe, you're going to end up in heaven. There is no doubt about that. If you have read Romans 10:9-10, if you've confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart and you were sincere about it, not just going through the motions, you were sincere about it. Because when I say sincerity, it's just like you tell your children. You tell your children, you tell your spouses, your parents, you tell your siblings, you tell them what? You love them. That's sincerity. You just don't share that word and just say it if you don't mean it. At least I don't. I don't say it unless I mean it. And so that's sincerity. So that's what it is. That's all it is. It's simplicity. Amen. It's simple. But we have to make sure that we understand it. Amen. And the Bible said, get an understanding. So we have to make sure that we understand what salvation is and how to obtain salvation. Salvation is eternal life. It is eternal deliverance from sin, from evil, from wickedness. It is deliverance from ultimately eternal death, hell in the lake of fire. Amen. All glory be to God. I have to clap on that. All glory be to God. Because God has delivered my soul from hell and the lake of fire. He has delivered me from a sinful, evil, wicked mindset and lifestyle. I no longer desire to do the things that I used to do. Amen. As Paul said, I am content. That's the word I'm looking for. I am content with my simple lifestyle. Amen. But I have joy in it. See, that's the good thing about it. I have joy in this lifestyle, love, peace, you know, those things, the fruits of the Spirit. I have joy in this lifestyle knowing, man, you know, I really enjoy this life. Now, because I couldn't understand when I was young, my dad used to always say he loved peace. I'm like, man, my dad lives a real simple life. All he do is go to work, church, home. He spent time with his wife. He spent time with us. We were talking to his kids. but he never really got into a lot of other things. He didn't hang out. He didn't have any buddies. He didn't have church deacons and stuff like that, friends at the church that they would come by and visit, or him and my mom would go and visit them. And, again, they just lived a real simple lifestyle compared to a lot of people who, you know, may say, oh, man, that's a boring lifestyle. People who like to go on lavish vacations. They would go on vacations, but they didn't make it a two- or three-vacation thing a year. Most of our vacations were mainly to go visit grandma or something like that, or family or something like that. Not stuff like cruises or going to Europe or Africa or Asia or South America. They didn't get into stuff like going to Vegas, which is not saying there's nothing wrong with those things. It's okay to enjoy life. I'm not saying that it's not. Amen. But back then they were more religious, I guess we would say. So they would prefer to stay away from certain things, whereas now we're a little bit more liberal with our salvation. We will go to places like Vegas and, you know, places maybe like Spain or something like that. Again, nothing wrong with visiting and walking around and seeing the sights. Amen. I know I love it. My wife definitely loves it. Amen. Going on cruise ships. We're not saying for you not to enjoy this life. Enjoy this life. Amen. More people move around more. They get out more. They go to sports games. I know that that was a huge thing back in the day for some saints. Oh, we don't go to games. We don't do this. We don't do that. Those things don't keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. You know, I know at one point in time they were saying, oh, you shouldn't wear jeans because it show your shape. Or you should wear a skirt or dress and show your shape. Women shouldn't wear makeup and things like that. Amen. Again, I've never been wanting into certain things to, like, restrict people. Amen. But I understood. I would teach on it with understanding that there's a reason why the old school taught that way and how the Bible does teach you to be conservative with your appearance. Amen. Because why? It can be enticing. It can invite the wrong type of company. Amen. So we just have to be mindful. Amen, of how we carry ourselves. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into some scriptures. Amen. I'm kind of just kind of freestyling now. So let's go ahead and read some scriptures because I want to deal with some things. Amen. Heaven or hell. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. I want to go to Ecclesiastes first. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Verse 7, I know early on in my teaching over a year ago, almost, I would say about a year and a half ago, I actually taught a subject about where do you go when you die. This is highly important that the saints know this. And again, you'll be shocked to learn that most people in the church have no clue what happens to them when they die. But that's okay. Amen. We want to make sure that that we know. Amen. That you are in the know, that you have knowledge. That's why Paul said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Amen. When he talked about brethren, he was talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want you to not be in the know. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know these things, is what Paul was simply saying. So Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, shall return unto God who gave it. Amen. So verse 7 of Ecclesiastes is simply saying a man, and this is referring to a man that serves God, amen, your spirit will return back to God. There are some people that don't believe that. I've heard people say, oh, your spirit's out there in the grave, in the casket. I'm thinking to myself, no, your spirit is not out there in the casket. Your body, this physical body, when they lay you to rest, if you were to close your eyes in the very second, tonight or tomorrow, or sometime in the future, your body will go to the morgue. They'll do what they need to do. Of course, they have the funeral session and the celebration, or however way you want to look at it, the funeral. Your body is taken to the graveyard. Amen. If you're fortunate, because we know some people are not fortunate, if you're fortunate, your body is taken to the graveyard, which we pray that if God don't come back in our lifetime, that we are fortunate to be. Amen. With all the things that are going on in this world, that we are able to go to the graveyard. Amen. In a nice fashion. Amen. We are buried. That's where your body is. But your soul, your spirit goes back to Yahweh. It goes back to the Most High. So when you pass away in this life, amen, you will go somewhere. Amen. I've actually had a brother tell me there's no consciousness in the grave. Amen. You have to understand the interpretation that when the Bible said there's no consciousness in the grave, it's not saying that you won't be able to have some type of form of knowing. Let's just say that, knowing, meaning that, like, the people, let's say this first, the people who go to heaven, their soul go back to God. It is believed that their soul is resting. That's what my dad used to tell me and teach. Now, I hadn't really found anything different too much from what he taught, because I do believe, because I know the Bible says that God will give you rest. And Paul even said, and I'm going to quote the scripture here in a minute. I'm going to actually cover that scripture in a minute, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. That when we're not in this body here, this earthly body, to be absent from the body, amen, that we are before the Lord. So most saints, scholars, people who study the Bible, theologians, believe that your soul is in heaven. My daddy said your soul is in heaven resting, like it's sleeping, like a baby. I believe that, amen. I really haven't found anything that said that we may be your spirit walking around heaven. I hadn't really found that, amen. I'm going to keep searching and praying and searching the scriptures, amen. If someone may feel something different, amen, it's all glory be to the Most High God, amen. But that's just what I happen to believe, that your soul is resting. And when Christ returns to get to church, that your body, which is in the ground, in the casket, and your soul, which is in heaven, that's why, let me get some scripture. Amen. The Bible says all you're getting, you don't understand. I want to read the scripture. I don't like people think that I'm just be making up stuff. This is so, ever since I've been teaching since 2000, I've always had a good habit of going back to scripture so I can read you the scripture so you won't think that, amen, that preacher's just talking. He's just making up stuff. We don't make up stuff over here, amen. Oh, here it is. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, amen. Amen, there we go. Verse 14, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 14. It says, for if we believe, amen. So remember, I was saying over here in Ecclesiastes that the scripture was referring to the children of God, those who love God. It's not talking about those who don't love God, because those who don't love God, their spirit will not go back to God. If you refuse God, if you choose to say, I don't want to hear that, if you reject God in your heart and in your spirit, then hell will be your home. If you close your eyes in this life and you don't repent before you die in this life, you will go to hell. So Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, let's make sure we make this clear, is referring to those who are the saints. Your body goes back, the dust goes back to the earth. You either be buried or whatever. And the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Amen. But, amen. So, I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 14. But again, if you don't believe, your soul will go to hell. It says, verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died, or Yahshua died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep. Know that when Paul talks about the saints being dead, he refers to them as sleep. Again, this is why we say that the saints are what? Sleeping in heaven. And that's probably where my dad got it from. That's pretty interesting. Amen. All glory be to the Holy Spirit. Their soul is, that's why the Bible said, I will give you rest. Your soul is rested. Can you imagine being asleep for thousands of years or 1,000 years, 100 years? If you want, think about the rest that we get. Man, if I get, the last week I told you I wasn't feeling well, I just buckled down and said, man, I got to give me some rest. So in the middle of the week, amen, the brother blessed me. He said, bro, get you some vitamin C in your system. I got me some vitamin C in the system. Thank God for the elder, amen, blessing me. He said, get you some vitamin C in your system, brother, amen. That's Elder Bizarre. He said that. I said, you know what? I do need to give me that. I have a drinking some. My wife had bought me some. I said, man, I don't need to drink more of this. So I started drinking a lot of it. And I went to bed real early, like 8 or 9 o'clock. Got me some good rest. Felt so much better. So we feel real good when we what? When we get some rest, we feel so much better. We usually comfortably get 8 hours of sleep, at least 7, 6 is okay. I would say stretch for 7 and 8 hours consistently. That's some good sleep. Amen. Can you imagine if you was asleep for 2 or 3 days? Man, you would feel so immaculate when you wake up. If you could just sleep for 2 or 3 days straight, you would feel so good. which we know is kind of hard to do in this bodily form. But we know that when the saints die, when you are laid to rest, when you close your eyes and say, this is how good God is and gracious God is. He is so merciful that when the saints die, we will not be dead. Amen. My dad used to always talk about the how the, he said, the Son of Man will see death. They will actually see the death spirit. We won't see the death spirit. Amen. My dad used to always talk about that, how horrible. I remember one of my brothers always asking about that. He said the death spirit was so horrible. So horrible. Now, I don't know what my dad got that. I'm just sharing with you what my dad said. I ain't found that in the Bible. That was just his, that probably was just his spiritual speculation. Amen. Because I got my, I have my spiritual speculations as well. So I guess that was his spiritual speculation, meaning that it's not in the Bible, but maybe the spirit revealed it to him. Maybe he saw something that, amen. But my dad used to always talk about how gruesome death was. He said, my brother said, well, why would death be so gruesome? He said, well, you think about it. When people die, that's a gruesome, ugly thing. It is. Amen. I don't ever, and I used to always say, I don't ever want to see nobody die. Amen. I don't want to see nobody die. Amen. I know we've seen videos of people actually passing away. That's a gruesome thing. It is an ugly thing. It is so horrible, amen, to see somebody die or for somebody to take another man's life, to strike another person until you kill them. To shoot a person, to run somebody. Death is so ugly. You see people do stuff, maybe push somebody off a cliff. It is so ugly. Death is an ugly thing. And that's why my dad said death was such an ugly, gruesome angel. He said the look of him, when the people die, when they leave this world, he would say that they would see death. That's the first thing you're going to see. Amen. Lord have mercy. Is death when you die if you are a sinner. That's the first thing you're going to see is death. It's going to take you to hell. If you remember over in Revelation, let me see if I can go and find that scripture real quick. Revelation, the sixth chapter. Amen. Let me hold on one brief breath for a moment. Try to make sure my stuff is right. Okay. Amen. Amen. So Revelation, the sixth chapter. And this is what Revelation 6 chapter says. 6 chapter verse 8, it says, and I looked, this is John, he said, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. Death is real. Death is an actual spirit. Now his actual name, we don't know if death is his actual name. That's just what we call him, death. We don't know what his actual name is. Maybe there's an actual name that no one knows, or maybe it just hasn't been revealed, but we call him death. Death is an angel. We saw the death angel being mentioned over in Exodus with the children of Israel. The death angel, right? He says, "In the name, his name that sat on him was death." This is one of the four horsemen. And why would it say? And it said, "And hell followed with him," meaning that hell, death is constantly with hell. In other words, it's always associated with death. They go hand in hand, like hand in glove. Death and hell. So in other words, when you see death, if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in Christ, you ain't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior in this life, when you die, guess where you're going next? Death is going to carry you off to hell. That's why I say in hell followed him, meaning that death comes first and hell is next. Meaning you ain't going nowhere else. You don't get to see no family. You don't even get to go back and see your body at the funeral. People be making up all this little weird stuff that I ain't never heard of. I hear people say, oh, knowing these people ain't never been to church and these people ain't lived, all they in heaven. No, everybody don't get to go to heaven. You got to come the right way. Christ said, you got to come through me. You ain't just exempt to go to heaven. You don't get a pass. It's called Big Mama and Big Daddy went to church. Or it's because your grandmama prayed for you. I heard somebody say, my grandmama prayed for you. Your grandmama praying for you, that helps. But it don't save you. You are not saved by the prayers of your grandmother or your parents or your grandfathers, your mama or daddy. That is not what saves you. You must be taught salvation. Now, I tell people the worst thing to do is to go to church and not take your children. That's the worst thing. Why in the world do you leave your kids at home and you at church? I don't care about them being in junior high and high school and getting grown. They need to be in church. Take your kids to church. My kids live me, they don't get a choice. You go to church. Amen. Amen. So the point that I'm making is that death is real. So we've established heaven and hell is real. That's an actual angel. And so when people who are reject Christ, the unbelievers or non-believers, whatever you want to call them, the people who don't believe in God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when you die, you'll see death, and then hell is next. Amen. And I pray for you. Amen. I don't pray that nobody that's alive. We hate it for those that have lost their souls, lost their lives, that are in that state right now. Because hell is a gruesome place. I've heard many people say they've been to hell. Please don't make light of hell. This is nothing to play with. I've never been to hell. I've had revelations of hell, visions of hell, and I guarantee you, nothing in nobody's mind that's living has been to hell and can comprehend hell. In other words, if we was to go to hell and do the best that we can, in fact, even in the book of Enoch, Enoch even said it best himself. You know, he said the things that he witnessed on the other side, he said he couldn't describe it. There was just no way really for him. He did the best that he could. Same thing with John. They did the best that they could to describe heaven or hell. There is just nothing that we can really use too much on earth to describe what heaven and hell is like. That's a fact. If John couldn't really describe, he did the best that he could to show us the thing that he saw. That's why when they refer to heaven, they use pearls. And yeah, I remember this is ancient time. This is thousands of years ago when they were trying to explain what they saw in heaven. Enoch tried to explain. He had to use crystals and stuff to explain the beauty that he saw in heaven. Because why? There was nothing back on earth that could say, man, look at the glory of heaven. Look at the glory of God. Look at God's throne, how beautiful. He had to use, they used gemstones and crystals. They used what they referred to back on earth and say, man, how can I tell you what I saw? And also when Enoch saw hell, the same thing. When he saw the different places in hell, he said he just really couldn't describe, but he did the best that he could in his time. But mainly he was sending a warning. Don't go to hell. Amen. As Elder was saying, he said, go to Timbuktu, go to France. Amen. But he said, whatever you do, don't go to hell. That is real. That is real. Man, we can't stress enough how that is real, to not go to hell. Because people will dumb down heaven and hell by saying, oh, I've seen a little video. People are just trying to get views. They're just trying to make money. Little kids, now they got little kids on, they've been to heaven. Man, look at here. We've all had visions. Amen. Even Paul even admitted. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I cannot tell. I really don't know, but I think that I experienced the third heaven. Not saying that it's not a possibility, but you have to be careful with that. Because when you say certain things, amen, you dumb down the effects. Like people take hell and the lake of fire for a joke. They take this thing with Lucifer, Satan, as a joke. And I've met people who say, man, oh, devil. It's just crazy, this thing that people would say. But let something bad happen, and all of a sudden, the realization sets in that there may be a heaven or a hell. Well, it shouldn't take anything tragic to happen in your life to make it a possibility or a thought. Because if you don't believe it, you just don't believe it. Leave it where it's at. Regardless, if something horrible happened to you, don't call on God. You don't believe in him. Why are we all of a sudden making it a thought now? No, let me help you. There is a God. There is Lucifer. Amen. And there is a heaven and there is a hell. Now, you cannot believe it. You cannot believe it. But as I stated earlier, your soul will go somewhere when you close your eyes in this life. When your body, you take your last breath in this life and you fall asleep in this life. Amen. When the body has died, the physical body has died, the spirit must continue. Because why? The spirit cannot die as the body does. The spirit will continue in experience. And the experience is either going to be rest or turmoil. See, God is always the opposite of what Lucifer is called. God is love and peace and joy. When the saints die, we will get rest from this life. Our soul will be resting as a child. And let me go back and finish. Amen. I'm sorry. First, that's what I was reading there, and I really didn't get to finish my point. Amen. Kind of picked up a habit of that here recently. Let me go back to 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Let me go back. Finish my thoughts there. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 14. Let me just go ahead and finish reading what it says. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so, them also. Who is them? The saints that have already passed on. So let's say that Christ was to come back this very instant. Boom. The horns blow. The lightning strike from east to west. The sky roll back like a scroll. The thunders. And Christ descends. He don't touch the earth. He's just in the air. And the archangel shout. And the dead in Christ, they're going to hear his voice. Meaning that the physical body, the spirit is going to awaken. This is why the scripture is written the way that it is written. Let me just go and finish reading this. So them also which sleep in Yahshua will God bring with him. Well, how is he bringing the saints with him if they're in the dirt? The bodies, the flesh is in the dirt, rotting. They're rotting. But the spirit, the soul, is in heaven itself. This is why Christ will bring them, which is the dead saints, with him. Lord, have mercy. So, I think it's over in the book of Daniel. Let me go there real quick, which is the scripture that I'm looking for. There we go. It always refers to those who are dead, amen, as sleep, right? And awaking out of the dust of the earth, amen? So I know that there are some people, amen, that teach that everybody is asleep, amen, even those that are non-believers, amen. I thought that was a little strange that they teach that. I'm still trying to understand why they teach. I've heard that from, I believe a family member told me something like that everybody is asleep. Just try to understand. When people say things, I investigate. If it interests me, if it's something they may have a little ground, a little merit, I'll do some research. I hadn't really found in the Bible where the non-believers, why they would be asleep. The reason that I'm going to show you some scriptures as to the reason why I made that comment to my conclusion, because I don't know why the non-believers would be asleep. Now, we know why the saints are asleep, because God said, I will give you rest from your labors. We are resting from our labors. Our soul is sleeping. Our flesh is in the ground rotting. It's in the grave, right? My loved ones have been dead for years. Their flesh is still in the grave, rotting, because that's what your body does. It rots. Even though they do all this stuff to you, when embalming, your body is still rotting. Okay, it's in a state of decaying is what it is. I hate to be so vivid and use that, but it's the truth. You're decaying in the earth. Amen? But your soul, amen, which is the real you, the body is part of you too, but this real you is gone. That's why you die. Amen? Because according to Ecclesiastes, amen, the interpretation of Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, amen, man has no way to prevent death. The timing of it, amen, we have no way to prevent death. This is why when something happens to your body physically, whether it's a sickness or something happens to you, you can't stop yourself from dying. Amen. This is because of Adam and Eve disobedience to God. Amen. Death entered in. And so death is able to rule over your body, meaning that's it. Once you die, it can hold you in the grave, amen? But only Christ is going to restore your body, your physical body. That's why he takes the soul to heaven, because death can't have your soul because you're a child of God. That's a saint. So death can't have the saints. The saints go to heaven, amen? All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. That's why I say, as far as those who are unbelievers, them being asleep, amen, we're going to get into some scriptures and look at that here in a moment. But I want to let you know where you go. Again, time is up. Okay, we don't have time to be playing anymore. We got to be serious, and we must be what? About our Father's business. We got to teach the world and let people know, amen. Hey, let's get ready. I like to sing those old hymns that you see when I was a kid. Get right, church, and let's go home. Remember that? Get right. See, you don't hear those type of songs no more. Get right, church, and let's go home. This is why I'm saying time's up. Let's get right. It's time to go home. Earth is not your home. Heaven is your home. Amen. So when we get the saints ready for the return of Christ and ultimately to spend all eternity in heaven with the Heavenly Father. Amen. Now, I want to jump over to Revelations because I got it written down. I just have to go ahead and go to Revelations real quick. I want to go to Revelation, the 20th chapter, and I'm going to read some scriptures. We just want to let the Holy Spirit. I got a lot of, you know me, I collect a lot of scriptures when I study. We just want to let the Holy Spirit just lead us and guide us. So Revelation 20 and 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." So the beast and the false prophet, as it is stated over in Revelation, the 19th chapter, amen, verse 20, they were both cast into the lake of fire. Now, what I thought was remarkable about that, funny but not funny, is that they both were cast in the lake of fire. They probably would be the first two. Amen. I could be wrong, but they may be the first two to be cast into the lake of fire. Because I believe Satan and his angels will probably go at the same time. Because when it says the devil that deceived, then they cast. And so when I'm thinking about the devil, not really only thinking about just Lucifer himself, but other words, we talk about the devil's spirits, meaning that Lucifer, his fallen angels, and all the demons will probably, in Revelation 20 and 10, they will all be cast into the lake of fire at that time. So you have, amen, the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire, okay? And they deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Both of them were cast alive. And, man, so basically in their fleshly bodies, they were cast into the lake of fire, burning, the cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So we don't know. I guess when their flesh will be burnt up and they'll turn to a spirit in the lake of fire, we don't know. The Bible doesn't get that vivid. We'll know in the end. But I thought that was remarkable that, wow, they don't even get a judge. They don't even get to go before the Bema. I mean, not the Bema. I'm sorry, not the Bema seat. They don't get to go before the white, great white throne. They are just cast into the lake of fire alive. That was what the scripture said. It said these both were cast alive, meaning in their fleshly bodies. And right now, God would just snatch them up and just throw them in the lake of fire. But they were so bad. In other words, there was no form of redemption for them two. They don't get the opportunity. They definitely have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. We know what they have because we know that that's one sin you cannot be forgiven of is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I don't ask that you try to find out how to do that if you don't know how. I pray that you leave that demonic, satanic, Lucifer and stuff alone. It is nothing to play with. I had a friend say that he wants to learn something about black mass. I said, brother, trust me, you don't want to learn about this stuff. Leave that stuff alone. I am not interested in anything to do with anything that's black magic, the Ouija board. I don't care how interesting or enticing someone to try to make that stuff. Leave that stuff alone. It is nothing to play with. Demons are real. And, man, you don't play with demons. That's something my dad used to always tell us. When we were little kids, you don't play with demons. You don't play with God. You definitely don't play with God because you don't play with demons because they can get in you. So you don't play with stuff that demons are so, especially if you know it. You don't fool with it. I know they got certain games and stuff out here that that demons are associated with. You got to be very careful what you bring into your house. And so demon possession is something that you want to stay away from. Because when you start playing with white magic and black magic and all that type of stuff, that's how people become demon possessed. There are a lot of people walk with the, we've already talked about this in the past few weeks, that when you have the Holy Spirit in you, demons cannot possess a believer. Believers and saints, no. The Holy Spirit lives there. Demons cannot live there. God is all-powerful. Amen. The Holy Spirit don't play that. Ain't no such thing. Don't let nobody teach you that. Once you have the Holy Ghost, a demon cannot possess. Can't live in the same house. No sir, rebar. So people who are non-believers, man, Lord, that's why they always just tell people about kids. I be very careful about your kids. I always protect your kids. I always anoint their heads. I always pray over them. I've always anointed and prayed over my children. Ever since they were little bitty babies and kids, I was going to anoint their heads with oil anointment, oil, pray over them, anoint their windows, anoint the doors in the house, because you just never know. Amen. Demons can come from anywhere. Demons are everywhere. They're ancient, evil, demonic spirits from the giants, from the Nephilim. They are the children of the fallen angels. They are disembodied spirits that once those giants have died, those demons and monstrous monsters that roam the earth back during the time of Enoch and Adam, when they roam the earth, and yes, I did say monsters. See, they don't teach all this stuff in church. Demons, they were monsters and half-breed humans. They were hybrid humans. These were people who had the spirit of the fallen angels in them. And when they died, when their fleshly bodies died in the flood, they became demons. Amen. In fact, from studying research, just recently learned that God permitted all the demons that were roaming the earth because Noah had went to God, and he pleaded with God, please, you know, because I don't want them to possess my children and my seed. When he said his sons, he was referring to his sons and his grandchildren, his seed. He didn't want them to possess his children to make them do wrong like the people did before the flood. And God said, okay, he made a covenant with him that, he agreed, let's just say that, I don't want to say he made a covenant, but he agreed that he would bind those demons. And he did for a period. And then until he had made one of the angels, but I have to go back and read, but he allowed 10% of the demons to be free. And the other, he said, one-tenth would be free. The other nine-tenths will stay bound. I found that very interesting. So that's why you have demons that are roaming the earth. We don't know how many demons there are. Amen. And thank God that they're not roaming the earth. Amen. Because there will be more killing and stealing and murdering and everything, every other evil, wicked thing that's happening on the earth. Amen. So back over to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Verse 10, I can tell you right now, it's probably going to go into next week. It's probably going to be a part two to this. Amen. Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them. Okay? So understand what a devil is. A devil is a spirit. Okay? What is Lucifer? He is a spirit. He's an angel. Angels are spirits. So a devil spirit means an entity that falls up under the Luciferian. Amen. Lucifer himself, which when he fell, his name was no longer Lucifer. His name became what? Satan. Amen. This is why if you go back over to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 1, it says that old serpent, see, it describes him. It says the dragon, that old serpent, which is the what? Devil, meaning devil spirits, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Why did it not say Lucifer? Because Lucifer became who? Satan. Which Satan produced what? Other devil spirits. That's why we say, oh, you ain't never an old devil. But what are we referring to? Evil. So you take the D off of devil, and what do you have? Evil. Devil. He's nothing but evil. So Lucifer became what? Satan. Satan, who is what? Evil. His name was Lucifer, which was the name that was given to him, but because he became evil, come on now, he became Satan. That's why it says, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, what, 1,000 years. So that means that Lucifer and the other fallen angels, because remember, the other 200 that slept with the women, they were already bound. God bound them because what they did was man. God said, look what these jokers have done. They then went down here and slept with women and produced some children, an offspring. They sleeping with animals and birds and beasts and just create all kind of monstrous things on the earth. This is where you see monsters. When you think they think they sleep, they be trying to make monsters cute. They got monster movies and monster shows, and some of them try to make it cartoony like. Hey, this stuff was real. I tell you, all the time when they show you something on TV, this stuff has already happened. See, before the flood, this is why the flood came, because there were monsters on the earth, giants on the earth, which had what? Devil spirits, evil. That's why they're called devil spirits. And when they died, they became demons. Where did it all start from? Lucifer, who rebelled against God. He had pride. He failed, and he became who? Satan. Say he's already evil because he rebelled against God. So that was evil to go against God to begin with. And he drew what? A third of the stars, which were the angels. A third of the angels. So we did the math last week. So what's the third? You have three. You take one of the third. There you go. That's what you have. I mean, one out of the three became fallen angels. Okay, another way to look at that, if you have 3 million angels, 1 million of the 3 million became fallen angels. Okay, now we're not saying that's the number. Nobody knows the number of the angels that fell from heaven. We don't even know the number of the angels in heaven. But I'm just giving you an example. Amen. And it said that, and cast him into the bottomless pit. So at this time, we see the devil seed, or the devil spirits, meaning that Lucifer, the one-third of the angels that fell from heaven, which the 200 angels were included in that, which they were already bound from the beginning. God bound them for what they did. One of the main reasons why he went on and bound them, because they were sleeping with women. They had changed their form. They had transformed themselves. I mean, because angels are able to transform themselves. And we don't know if they made themselves look like men. They had to make themselves look like men. But some way they made themselves attractive to the women, that the women want to be with them and sleep with them. And that's what they did. When they slept with them, they had these different types of giants. Some of the giants would be cyclops. This is why archaeologists have found giants with a cyclop eye, meaning that they have no eyes in the eye socket, but they have an eye up there in the forehead. Or someone would have like a cyclop eye and regular eye. They all different. The book of Enoch said that. It said that they all different. They were all different. They had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each feet. They were huge. They were big. They were muscular. They were renowned. The Bible said they were great renowned. This is what your movies are made out of. They're made out of the children of fallen angels. Maybe they have the ability to fly. Maybe they have the ability. When you see Superman, that's exactly what you're looking at. When you look at the Avengers, you're looking at things of the past. You're looking at the devil spirits. You're looking at these fallen angels, the Nephilim, the giants, the fallen angels. They worship. That's what they're worshiping. They're worshiping them. That's what you see. Amen. So I had to point out this part of the verses, the scriptures, to include. Amen. Again, we're talking about heaven and hell. Amen. You're going to make a choice. Either you want to spend hell for eternity with all these demons. I don't know why you would want to stay down with all them devil spirits for all eternity. And let me say this, man. Hell is not the lake of fire. Man, let me show you a difference. The Bible talks about how the lake of fire will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, meaning that people are going to be constantly screaming, constant pain. And I'm not saying that hell is not constant pain, but the pain in hell is nothing like it's going to be in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is, man, you just upgraded yourself. So if you go to hell, you're going into the lake of fire. There ain't no way out of it. When after God gets through judging you, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is so unimaginable. The pain is so unimaginable. You think hell was something. Man, at least in hell, The Bible talks about the rich man and Lazarus. He had time to think. He could even remember the guy. He talks about he said, God send Lazarus. See, in the lake of fire, you're gonna be able to do that. The pain is gonna be so intense and so constant, you ain't gonna be able to think straight. You ain't gonna be able to think about who else is here with me. You can care less. You're gonna be in so much pain. You ain't gonna think about it. Is your mama there? Is your daddy there? Is granny there? Is granddad there? Is your brother, your sister there? Is your friend, your best friend there? Is your enemy there? The lake of fire is gonna be so intense. You're gonna have time to think about that stuff. That's how so intense the lake of fire is gonna be. See, in hell, Lazarus was able to say, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in some water and put on my tongue, for I am parched. I'm tormented in this flame. Oh, but the torment of lake of fire, hell has nothing on. And I shared with you before that of Enoch's experience of what he saw when he saw that realm and how it saddened him to see hell and where eventually all the souls will be for all eternity for the lake of fire. He said when he saw the lake, he said the columns of fire. He said as far as he can look left and right, east and west, as far as he can look, he said he couldn't see the end of it. The lake of fire is going to be so huge. So many spirits, souls are going to be in there. So he saw a soul. He said it just grieved him so. He said, man, I just take me from. He told the angel, just take me away from this place. It saddened him so to know all those people. And it saddens us. It saddens me to know that people today will leave this world. They say hundreds of thousands of people die per day. Hundreds of thousands of people die per day around this planet. Lord, have mercy. And, man, if that ain't enough to, man, like I said, we don't try to scare the hell out of you. Amen. We're just being real with you. This is teaching that needs to be taught in the church. I mean, we used to hear this type of stuff when I was young. My dad used to talk about that type of stuff. But right around the time, you know, he passed away in the early 2000s, it had become unpopular to teach and preach like that. Didn't nobody want to hear that. Even in the 90s, people were getting away from that. People didn't want to hear this type of teaching. People want to only hear, you know, slap me on the hand with some oil and slap me on the forehead and tell me I'm going to be rich in the next 2 or 3 years. Tell me I ain't got to worry no more about this life. I ain't got to be struggling no more financially. All my bills are going to get paid. Somehow some gold bar is going to fall out the sky and my name is on it and I'm going to be rich for the rest of my life. You know, that's the type of stuff that people are teaching now. People are teaching motivational speech. Oh, you don't have to worry about all that fire and brimstone stuff. And all you got to do is just be nice to everybody and just speak nice, positive things. Yeah, that's part of what we're to do and supposed to do. But there's a realization that Christ died on the cross for our sin. The blood comes into play. You can't. That's why in Revelation, the fifth chapter, the saints are just going off in heaven. And John is comforted because one is found worthy to loosen the seal, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. He died for my sin. In fact, let me show you something. I got a little time. Let me show you something. I got so many scriptures. But we're gonna make a part two, and we need to make a part three to it. We just do what we got to do because I got to get this message out. I want to go over to John. This was very popular. A verse that I used to teach on a long time ago, and the Holy Spirit put it in my heart. I don't know why I ain't said nothing about it. This is St. John. You know, back in the day, we used to call it St. John. Some people just call it John. Now you say John. So this is John, the first chapter, verse 29. So if you old school, we say St. John, the first chapter, verse 29. This is what it says. It says, the next day, John see Yahshua coming unto him, and said, behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, have mercy. That verse itself is powerful. It said, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, of course, when you look up sin, it talks about the offenses against God. What John is really saying is he's not talking about you drinking, you fornicating, you commit adultery, you lying, you cheating, you stealing, you being gay, whatever. That's not what John's referring to. He's really referring to, and I'm going to go over to St. John, the third chapter, verse 36. He's referring to man rejecting God. And he's also talking about those other sins. But namely, he's talking about man rejecting who? God. And so we're going to read what it says. St. John, the third chapter, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. See, if I simply believe, I have everlasting life. I tell you, salvation is easy. Salvation is simple. Getting into heaven is easy. This is what Satan, Lucifer don't want you to know. Going to heaven is easy, baby. All you got to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, be sincere, love God. You're in the gate. You're in the gate. But see, we got so many false teachers and preachers and pastors who want to be gatekeepers because how certain people look and what they're doing in their life, they want to be gatekeepers. They want to keep them out of heaven. All you got to do, all this stuff, is go to heaven. Stop teaching that. Stop being a gatekeeper. God don't need you to be a gatekeeper. He didn't hire you or anoint you to be a gatekeeper for him. We ought to help people get into the kingdom of heaven, not keep them out. There's already enough people that's going to go on their own. We don't need to help people go to hell and to the lake of fire. That's already going to happen. The Bible says it itself. But watch what it says. It says, and he that believeth not, that's the key right there, the Son shall not see life. The only thing that can keep you out of heaven and that will take you to the lake of fire. This is why it says, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God is that you will eventually be, he say, I never knew you. Or he will cast him into the lake of fire. Your name is not written in the book of life. That's the wrath of God. That is the worst thing in your entire existence that you can ever hear. It's for God say, your name is not written in the book of life. And you now, the angels are going to cast you into the lake of fire. That's got to be the most damning thing that you can ever hear. It's for you to know that you're not going to get to spend all eternity with a loving God that's opened up his arms and said, I love you, I welcome you, I want you to come to me. But if you reject it, that's why the word says, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see light. In other words, you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. You won't go. We're talking about heaven and hell. We want you to go to heaven. We're teaching you the truth. See, some people get so in their feelings. Oh, he's talking about the lake of fire and brimstone. You get into your feelings. And that's what the word is meant to do, to either draw you or drive you. My daddy said all the time, he's going to either draw you or drive you away. But it's not driving you away purposely. You are driving yourself away. You are choosing to harden your heart towards God, just because he said, if you don't obey me and you don't believe in me, you don't accept me, I'm going to cast you into the lake of fire. So you made the choice. Just like Pharaoh, he gave Pharaoh 10 chances. He didn't do that. Pharaoh did that on his own. Pride. Stuck his chest out. I ain't letting the children of Israel go. And because of that, he hardened his heart, and ultimately he was punished. That's what happens. God gives you, it don't matter how long you live on this earth, God has given you opportunity. So you won't be able to say to God, God, I only lived for 21 years. You didn't give me enough chance. You didn't give me enough opportunity. God, I lived for 25 years, or 35, 45, 55, you didn't give me enough time. You're not going to be able to say that before God. God said, no, I gave you plenty of chances. It don't matter how long you live. Many people came by and preached to you, witnessed to you, loved on you, taught you the truth. And you remember them two ministers on the radio, people thought they were crazy. Pastors thought they were crazy. Even pastors. There's going to be some people in the pulpit going to be in the lake of fire. Don't think that they wore a suit and they're in the pulpit. The Bible said that there have been many men crept in unawares. In other words, they just snuck in the back door. And because they look a certain way, dress a certain way, and talk a certain way with enticing words, people have listened to them and followed them. Heaven and heaven or hell, it's real. Family is real. You just got to choose where you will choose to be. Amen. I'm going to come back and revisit verses 11 through 15 of Revelation, the 20th chapter. We'll come back and revisit 11 through 15 probably next week. I'm going to go ahead and get some more scriptures written down. Let me check off the ones that I've covered this week so I won't hit them again next week. Okay? Amen. Amen. So, a lot of scriptures to cover. Amen. Amazing. So we're going to get into the, we're going to talk about more about the great white throne judgment next week. Remember, time is up, okay, for playing in the church. For playing in the church, playing church, time is up. It's time to do your Father's will. Amen. We don't have much time left. Amen. We believe that Christ is going to come back in the twinkling of an eye. He can come back right now while I'm speaking. Amen. Or it is a possibility. Amen. I've come to the possibility that he may not come in our lifetime. I don't believe that. I believe he's going to more likely come back in my lifetime. I truly believe that he can come back in the twinkling of an eye. But the Bible does say that no man knows the day nor the hour, meaning that we really don't know. Amen. So I'm not professing that I do know when Christ is going to come back. Don't ever think that I said that I know when Christ is coming back. Because Christ said it himself, no man knows the day now. So nobody knows when Christ is coming back. But I do know it's going to be soon. It's definitely going to be sooner than it was yesterday. And it's definitely going to be sooner than what it was over 20 years ago when I first got saved. And it was definitely sooner, it's going to be sooner than when my dad should tell us when we were young. He believed in this 21st century, this new 2000 millennium, Christ is going to come back, possibly in our lifetime, or our children or our grandchildren's lifetime. My dad used to say that. So now here we are, exploring the fact that Christ could come back in the twinkling of an eye. We just want to make sure that you are ready and that you're getting your household ready. Amen. We want to make sure that your children, your grandchildren, your family, whoever, your brothers, talk to people, man, people that you love, I'm asking you. Amen. Don't need for me to beg you because it ain't my place to beg you. Amen. It's my job to teach you and to tell you. I'm asking you, amen, to share the word of God with your loved ones. Amen. Trust me, it's worth it. I've shared it with my loved ones and people close to me, and I've had people to just brush it off. I've had people say, oh, here you go again. It amazes me, man. I'm like, what? What do you mean, here I go? Are you serious? I've had people to brush me off. Christ said it. They're not going to listen to us, meaning that most people won't. Some will, most won't. But we still got to try. And we still have to do the best that we can because we want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to make sure that we're doing all that we can because we love people, man. I love people. I really, really do. I don't want to see nobody lost. I think about it day in and day out. And even talking to the brothers. And it's just hard for me to fathom. As terrible and horrible as the lake of fire, as terrible and horrible as hell is, the lake of fire is going to be worse. We unimaginably worse. I just can't imagine nobody being there for all eternity in that pain, yelling, screaming, hollering, the worm that will never die. You remember all the things that you did, all these people. It's going to be so many souls. And we know the number's going to be in the billions. We know that now just by the people being on the earth today and by revelation that we've done the numbers. We know it's going to be well in the billions. Because remember, the Bible says before the flood, there was a world, meaning that the world was popular. People lived for hundreds of years. I'm sure probably more people on the earth then than it is now. Them people lived for hundreds of years. You already know they lived in constant sin with no law. There was no government, lawlessness. Man, people were doing whatever they wanted to do, sleeping with whoever they want to sleep with, man, having babies like crazy. Man, if I live 100 years, I'll probably have 20, 40, 50, 100 kids. That's just what they were doing. So we're quite sure the number's going to be in the billions. Can you imagine? Man, I've been to a professional sports football game, baseball game, and, man, them folks go nuts when the team score. I've been to a professional soccer game. I think the soccer crowd is probably worse than any crowd. You want to know why? Because they don't score that often. Man, look at here. Brazil and Mexico was playing, and, man, Brazil made that goal. Oh, my gosh. I thought they were going to make the stadium come down like an earthquake. Them folks hollered for like, it felt like 5 minutes. And that stadium just, you really could feel it shake like an earthquake. I was like, whoa, we were shaking like an earthquake in there. Them folks was hollering so loud. Man, that goalie, that kicker made that goalie, and them folks just went off. Can you imagine what hell going to be like? Them folks weeping and gnashing and hollering. I'm talking about in the billions, just hollering insanely. You want to be there in that mess? Man, I thank God for saving my soul, and I pray that he saves your soul. Man, but on the other side, heaven is going off. We're going to be going off on our end. It's going to be in the billions, and we're going to be going off just celebrating and just giving them all praises and glory and singing praises. It's just going to be church 24-7. And I tell you right now, baby, I'd rather be in heaven churching 24-7 than to be in hell and the lake of fire weeping and gnashing with the teeth. Amen. So I tell you, man, I my heart goes out to those that are lost and that are just so caught into a lifestyle. Man, time is almost up. I thought I don't get to read this other verse, but amen. You know how we do, amen. We only uncover, amen. All glory be to God. All glory be to God. I'm excited for this time that we live in. I'm excited to be a man of God. We have the most highest calling on the planet. On the planet. I don't care about no president. I don't care about no king, no queen, no duke, no whatever you want to call these people that got high titles. None of them are higher than the man of God, than the prophets. Because for one, only what you do for Christ will last. What they do, if it's evil, it'll end. And if they choose not God, if they reject God, they'll be in the lake of fire for all eternity. So what they did means nothing. It'll be forgotten. But only what we do for Christ, the man and woman of God that have preached and saved souls and taught to people, it will go on for an eternity. And that is something that, man, I just yet to fathom. Gosh, I'm going to get to live for all eternity. Man, what a good and gracious God, man. I can't get over myself with that. I said, Lord, you chose me. I am so grateful, so thankful for that God called me into this ministry and to do his works and to teach people about his son, the Holy Spirit, his angel. God is so good, amen, that, again, I can't get over myself, man. I'm grateful. It's not boasting or bragging. It's grace. It's being grateful. Grateful. You should be grateful to be saved. It ain't got nothing to do with both. You'd rather be saved and going to heaven than to be going to hell in the lake of fire for all eternity. My heart goes out to those that have lost their soul. It has. It does. I hate it. I hate that people are suffering now in hell, people that I've known, people in the past, people who cut up. I'm talking about, I know people that cut up. And they never talked about God, or they shunned God, or they laugh all that stuff, and oh, ha, ha, I mean, they talk about me when I was young. And Lord, I just think about, Lord, have mercy. They won't get a second chance. That's it. And the next time you may possibly see them is at the great white throne judgment when they go before Christ. And the worst thing that you could hear is that your name is not written in the Lamb Book of Life because you had the opportunity and the chance and you rejected me. And the angels are going to take you and just cast you into the lake of fire or brimstone, which burns day and night forever. Well, family, the time has come. Hopefully you all will have a blessed week. I love you, family. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to do part two of Time is Up, Heaven or Hell. Which one will be your choice? Family, I'm out. God bless you. I love you. Take care. Stay safe.